Hello, diary listeners. I'm excited to introduce to you all today my friend JD. He has a two-part diary entry, and this is part one. We are calling it an 80s kid, and you're about to see why. It's very evident. Makes my little 80s baby heart happy. So here he is, JD. Enjoy, listeners. Welcome to the Apprenticeship Diaries, where raw meets refined.
Let's be real, we're still working on refined.
What it took, what it takes, and the stories that are made.
Join us as we learn from professionals about how their stories began.
Diary listeners, I'm here today with JD Brocious. I just found out that's how I say his last name. It's very cool. And I wish you guys could see the setup that he's got in his basement, but it's very cool. You work at Rapture Tattoo, my friend.
I do. Hello, everyone.
Thank you for coming on the show.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Of course, I was told that your story was a must to get. So,
oh, really?
Yes, yes.
Well then, wow.
The fellow peeps at Rapture were like, "Oh, you got to get JD," and I was like, "Oh, and now I have to."
Wow, does that mean I'm gonna be famous? Will I be famous after all this? No.
I mean, I can't ensure that, okay. But if that is what you want, I will put prayers in.
Fair enough. That'll work.
You will have done a thing.
I don't want to be famous, more. So.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, you will have done something that very few people do, which is something with your time and recorded
sure.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. You have a podcast of your own too. Shout that out at the top. I think that's pretty dope.
So I am part of a group called the Realm of Collectors, and it's all like, pop culture collecting adults, like-minded adults, you know?
Yeah.
That want to be kids. But yeah, every other Wednesday on the Realm of Collectors YouTube channel, my wife and I do a show together with a few friends of ours, and it is called Shelf Gravy. And it's, basically it's like a live tutorial. I used to paint a lot of like custom figure pieces and stuff like that, like stuff that was 3D printed, and I'll just like paint them and then we would give them away, you know, like we'd have like a trivia time at the end of the show, you know, after I finished painting it, and then we would give it away. For like the last year or so, I've just been building stuff for our own, you know, purposes, I guess. I don't know.
Has it been fun?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. There's usually like four or five of us. So it's like my wife and I, and then a few other customizers, and the one guy that pushes the buttons, he does stuff that he, you know, picked up from all the rest of us. But like, we'll just sit there and bullshit, you know, and it's a good time. We go around and just like, "Oh, so what are you working on today?" And, you know, everybody will show what they're doing. And then from there, we just kind of, Matt, the one guy, he's got quite the mouth, and we get into some pretty heated conversations, and he gets all like, "How does this guy not like, how's his heart not exploding at this point? His blood pressure's up," and he's screaming at the mic and all that. And then before we know it, like 2 hours went by, and it was like, "Oh, well, we'll be surprised if anybody's still out there watching, but here's what we know. Did tonight," and then we'll end it, you know?
That's what makes it entertaining, though, is the personality behind everything.
In between.
Oh, yeah. And especially when you are, if you're, you know, in the beginning, giving away these little figurines that are a product of all of this individual heat.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's something.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, like with the channel, we try and have something like every night. So Mondays, my wife does like a news-based show, and if you're watching it for the news, you're watching it wrong. Tuesday, we used to have like a topic-based show, but we don't really do that anymore. And then every other Wednesday, I alternate between like a live tour review or the shelf gravy.
Got you.
So, and then Friday we have the Realm Hatton Project, which is a bunch of other guys that they do a show on Friday, and it's they cover all kinds of shit on that one.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's awesome. How long have you been doing this?
2017 maybe.
Awesome.
When I started doing it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Did you have an inspiration?
No, not really. I just I joined the group, and yeah, like right now my phone just went off and it says watch Roma Collectors live in 30 minutes right out of the box. But like some of the guys will get together every now and again, and they'll just do like they got something new, they open it up, and it's like first impressions right out of the box.
Oh, right on.
But yeah, I don't, wait, what was the question?
Oh, just how long you've been doing it, what your inspiration was.
So yeah, I didn't really, there wasn't really any inspiration. I've always been a collector of sorts,
mm-hmm.
You know, between like Star Wars and Transformers and, you know, all the 80s stuff, you know, 80s kids.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I just joined the group, and then the guy that started the group messaged me, and he was like, hey, jump into one of our hangouts. And I was like, okay. You know, I don't know what the hell I was doing, but I just jumped on there. And of course, you know, he's like, who's this guy? And he like boots me out. And then I joined again. And cause I was like trying to figure shit out. I didn't know yeah. what I was doing. I joined on a cell phone, didn't have headphones or anything like that, you know? So my audio is probably a mess. Now. Yeah, that's right.
You're not popping any peas. No. Yeah, man, it advances. That's why I was asking, because, you know, a lot of why I'm doing this is to confront technology and to not be so behind on it, or at the very least not be, feel like I don't have a place within any of it, you know?
Sure.
Yeah. It can be really fun if you demystify it and kind of. Yeah.
So yeah. with the collector group, one of the things, like, there's a lot of lonely people out there. There's a lot of people that are shunned because mm-hmm. they like Care Bears or transforming toys, whatever, you know what I mean? So like, that genre in itself, like there are a lot of people that really don't have a lot, and that's why we try to provide as much content to them as possible.
Aww, I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, there is. Well, and you
come
know,
as friends, stay as family.
Oh, I know.
That's our motto.
Well, it's kind of like what we do as a profession too. I mean, sure. Tattooing, it's collecting. You know, we're this semblance of it that's healing for people. Obviously, mm-hmm. they wouldn't be getting what they get if not for that. I think very need that attachment to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. How long have you been a tattoo artist then?
So since 2012 officially. Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
2012.
And then nice. My apprenticeship was roughly like 8-9 months long.
Okay.
Before that. So I started that in 2011.
Right on. So our mm-hmm. timelines are not too far away from each other, honestly. That's pretty cool. No,
I guess not.
Because my second time learning to tattoo started like 2010-ish, but it was like
on the edge of it, like it was like leaving. So yeah. About the same time. That's cool.
Nice.
Yeah, man. What brought you into tattooing?
Well, I've always drawn, painted, sculpted, whatever I could get my hands on. I mean, I did mold making and I got pretty involved in like a local comic book scene around like Lancaster, Harrisburg, Maryland. So I got pretty into that. And then like probably a year after I got into all that kind of stuff, I got laid off my job. Or actually, no, that didn't happen yet. I was working as a plumber, and then I'm just like,
praise God about the plumbing.
Right?
Did you save me not too long ago? I mean, it backfired on me. But you helped for a significant amount of time. So good. I'm sorry to derail your story.
No. I'll derail myself like six times between now and then. So
good man.
Yeah. I guess so.
It just means there's a lot. There's just a lot.
There is a lot. But yeah. So I was just like scrolling through Facebook the one night, and I'm just, you know, I'm like in the middle of divorce and, you know, almost losing my home and all this stuff. And I'm like, you know what? Like, I see this, you know, the guy up the street says, I'm looking for artists, 3-year minimum experience, better have a strong portfolio, blah, 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 blah. So I'm like, what's he going to tell me? Go fuck myself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just messaged him and he was like, oh, right on. So you have a portfolio. It's not on lined paper, right? I'm like, no, I got portfolios. So he's like, all right, cool. We'll bring your stuff in this day and we'll sit down and talk. And I took like literally everything that I had. I had three different portfolios of all just like illustration and painting and all that stuff. I took a bunch of my sculpture in. I took my laptop in, which had a bunch of digital art on it. And
nice.
And then a few of the actual like paintings that I had done. And he was like, well, you didn't need to bring all this. But like, I mean, if you're serious, you have what it takes. You know,
like
if it's something you want to do.
How did it start? Like, did he give you an opportunity at that point?
Yeah. Like he sat me down and he was like, look, it's going to cost this much money. I want this up front. And then, you know, we'll start your training, so to speak, from there. And, like literally it was like the next week he had me in there and he was like, all right, well, I had some stuff pre-planned. So I'm not going to be here this day, and this day, but I'm going to have you sit down and like watch these videos. And, you know, I mean, he had stuff planned out, which was cool. It wasn't from the seat of his pants.
Right.
I'm super grateful that he gave me the opportunity.
Yeah. You know, yeah.
Shout out to you, Chuck.
Hell yeah.
But, from there, it was just like, I ended up working the other half of my apprenticeship off.
Mm-hmm.
So like he did, you know, he saw all the other things that I could do and he's like, hey, can you do this for me?
Right on. Da-da-da-da.
So
that's cool.
It worked out that way.
Was it more of like a gentleman's agreement for the whole thing?
Yeah.
Is there anything in writing?
Yep.
Okay.
No, I don't think so. I don't think there was no contract or anything like that I had to sign.
That's awesome.
It was pretty much a handshake and that was pretty much it.
That's wonderful. And did you get any kind of sense about him that like made you feel very confident that was not going to be a problem or anything like that?
He runs a legitimate business, you know, a clean place. a lot of people know him. You know what I mean? And it's like, so, yeah, from there it was just, it kind of felt right. Everything worked out the way it needed to. So, you know what I mean?
Now, did you do a lot of the front end kind of stuff for him? How did your duties look? What was that kind of like?
So starting out, I did a lot of tubes, scrubbing a lot of tubes, scrubbing more tubes, and then more tubes, cleaning the shop, you know what I mean? Answering emails and phone calls and trying to do all that. We for most of my time there, even after my apprenticeship, we did have, you know, there was like a front desk person that was usually there. So a lot of that stuff was handled most of the time. But like, if that person wasn't going to be there, you know what I mean? It was solely up to me to do it, you know, which is fine. I don't mind. I didn't know what I was doing at the time, you know, so it wasn't like I could actually sit back there or make money or anything. So I drew a lot more. I did some sculpture and, you know, like he said, I don't care what you're doing, just as long as it's constructive. You know what I mean? I don't want you sitting here playing video games all day.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Did you work another job while you were doing this? Cause you were paying for this.
So. Yeah, I was a plumber. And then right up to the end of my apprenticeship, I got laid off. So like it kind of balanced itself out. You know what I mean? Nice. I think it was like 9 weeks of no work. So
that's not bad. That's not bad at all, man. That's awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Because I mean, I'm sure that wasn't easy to like do an apprenticeship on top of doing plumbing.
Oh no.
Yeah.
No, but you know, I did it and he was cool with it. He knew, you know, I'm working, getting up at like 6 a.m, being at work by 7, you know, digging in shit and piss and God knows what else.
What else? Yeah.
Yeah.
Or talk about like bloodborne pathogen.
Yeah. yep. And gloves. Yep. Gloves and respirators are very, very important.
Oh, yes.
But I'd get out of work, you know, and it would be like, I don't know, 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon. And then I would just go into the shop and hang out there till 9 at night.
Yeah. And, yep, damn, dude.
Pick up what I could. And,
how long before there was a tattoo machine in your hand?
Probably about 3 months. 3 months, right, 4 months, somewhere around there.
Right on.
Yeah. He wanted to make sure that I understood all the, you know, like how it worked. I watched him a lot, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there was a lot of me over his shoulder, you know, peeping what he was doing, asking questions.
Gotcha.
You know, why do you do this? Why do you do that?
I gotcha. Yeah.
Need to do his best to explain, you know.
Now, I'm assuming if there was a lot of tubes, was a coil what he used?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that what you started on?
Yep.
Right on.
Mm-hmm. Repairing your own, you know, doing the maintenance, repairing, whatever you had to do. So I don't use coils anymore, but like I still have them, but to this day, there's still a little, you know, like a little tool case in there with all the essentials, got some extra springs and, you know,
things extra like that,
capacitor stuff. Yeah. Just in case, you never know.
Do you think that, plumbing, was a good lead in for all of that? Just because you had a kind of a background knowledge about how to fix things and tinker like that.
I mean, I've always kind of been that way.
Yeah,
like, you know, an old video game system would crash or whatever, I'd tear it apart. But like, not to fix it or anything like that. I'd be like, oh, I can use these wires and this, and I can make this out of it. And you know what I mean?
Right, I would just
like making costumes and shit like that. I don't know.
Nice.
But yeah, my dad was, he was quite the tinker. He loves automobiles. And right, I mean, he still does it. I grew up with him always in the garage. Hey, hand me that tool. No, not that one, stupid. This one. You know, I mean, there's a lot of that.
So pretty much nothing, nothing that you were going to get from a tattoo apprenticeship was going to rock you, I'm sure, with that.
No. Nope. The thick skin was pretty much already there.
Oh, I imagine. So. I would imagine. What about, like, what brought you into plumbing? Just to go back even further, just for a second, I was just curious.
So, my dad worked for a supply house, pretty much. So we did plumbing, heating, air conditioning, roofing, and we supplied all that stuff. But my dad would, he was always on the road, and he would go to job sites and actually like quote out, like, you need this equipment, you need this much PVC. You know, he would draw all that stuff out for them. And if they had any problems, he would go out, help them service, all that kind of stuff. And I mean, he was there, he started there when he was like 9, cleaning toilets and shit. Yeah. Like my whole family worked there pretty much. My grandfather and my dad and his 3 brothers, they all worked there. And it just kind of became like both my brother and myself ended up there. I was there like 12, I was there for like 12 years and I wasn't making shit, not even making $12 an hour, you know?
Yeah.
Working like 65 hours a week at this place. Holy crap. It was ridiculous. So I got to know a lot of the people that were out there in the field.
Right.
I worked for a company that did HVAC. So, and it was pretty much all new install stuff. So it wasn't a lot of service. So I did that for a few years, and then I ended up working as a plumber after that for a couple of years. Right. And that was a cool job though. I did like it, as dirty as it was. It was fun.
Awesome.
But we would do boilers and, you know, so there was still like some of the plumbing with the heating in there, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's awesome. So multifaceted.
Yeah.
How was your art received by your family?
So growing up, my brother and I always drew together. You know, we always loved to like, oh my gosh, did you see this comic book? Tom McFarland, and you know, like there was a lot of that going on. And when he became a teenager, like he's 2 years younger than I am. When he became a teenager, he went the music route. He saw, you know, your Nirvanas and all that kind of stuff, and was like, I want to be a rock star.
Yeah.
I'm like, nope, I want to draw and paint and sculpt my hands off.
Yes.
So my mom was always very supportive of it. When I worked at the supply house, of course, like I'm drawing comics, you know what I mean, on boards, all that kind of stuff. And you know, I'm like writing my own stuff, sketching it all out, inking it.
Right.
And then I would scan it in the computer, and then I would, you know, I just did like black and gray stuff. So I would just, you know, do that grayscale stuff. But like both my dad, my one uncle, they're like, what are you going to do? You think you're going to draw for a living? You think you're going to make money at doing this? And blah, 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 blah. And from that point on, it was kind of like, Game on, motherfucker.
Oh,
game
yeah. I am going to.
Yeah. You watch.
Yeah.
You watch. So
it's amazing. I never really. I don't know. I don't. I guess I just don't understand that because I never got it. My mom was very, very supportive of my artistic talent. And she was just like, you can make money in anything. If you can't make money at it, then you don't know the first thing about like doing that, you know, like mm-hmm. it's not rocket science, you know?
Right.
You know, there's simple ways that you go about it, but she was like, as long as you educate yourself and you invest yourself and you put blinders on to everything else, you can succeed in anything. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I've never understood the naysayers or the negative Nancys or the people that try to lessen shine in others.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. In my experience, it's been, those people are the people that only know one thing.
Yeah.
They have the blinders on for everything except for that one thing. And that's be a man and be responsible. And, you know, man does this like a total 1950s way of thinking. You know what I mean?
Doesn't matter
if you like it or not. You're going to do it. You know, No, I don't have to. And like my grandfather of all people, he was the one that told me, he's like, kid, I don't care what you do. You can work with us or you can do whatever you want. You can work for one of the plumbers, one of this and that, and go do your own thing. You know, whatever you do, as long as it makes you happy, that's going to make me happy.
That
was him telling me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
My grandfather was a very, 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 very smart person.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very supportive. He was actually a Jehovah's Witness too,
which was
crazy. Yeah. I miss him though.
He's a good guy.
He wasn't like pushy with it or anything like that, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, he was a very supportive person. And yeah, I'm glad that I hold his advice out of anybody that I've ever met. Like he's at the top of my list. He's aww, the person that I've held on to the advice.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Well, and I'd have to imagine that there's a lot of fear on the opposite end of just, you know, like making sure that you don't stumble too much or get too hurt. I would have to imagine.
I don't know. In my opinion, that's part of the, like, taking that risk is, you know, that's kind of part of the fun of it.
Agreed.
You know?
Agreed. Yeah.
Like, I don't know if this is going to work, but we're going to find out. And if it does, fuck yeah. If not, I'll either try it again or I'm moving on.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? No, I'll be on to the next thing.
Totally agree. I mean, but you know, it's parent versus child perspective, you know, like, mm-hmm. It's a really awesome, I guess, mentor and parent that can be like, wow, you know, I know you get really hurt here, but I can also see that you need to do this, you know, you need to risk this.
Yeah. So like, yeah. So my mom was that way.
That's awesome.
She even, when I was like, I might've been like 19, she ordered me that it's like Art Institute thing. It's on like the infomercials. It's like, do you enjoy to draw?
Yeah.
Do you like the paint? Yeah. I mean,
no, I do those all segments. That stuff.
So I have like, I have that whole workload of the pamphlets that they would send you
in
in a big binder that she got for me. And it was like, okay, cool.
That's awesome. Cool. That's really cool. I do that too for this podcast. I do it for Guy Acheson's Reinventing the Tattoo System online. Shit. Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
I plug him. So it sounds a lot like that kind of.
Yeah.
You like to draw. Do you want to learn how to draw better?
and like, let me back up a minute. Like I can't say my dad was totally unsupportive.
No, he was just a guy.
Yeah, he was a guy. He wanted me to do guy things. And
yeah. Well, my dad, too. I mean,
a beefy car and burr, 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 you know.
My dad, I'm fairly certain he was very supportive of me, but he I know that it would have been easier and something he would have appreciated more had I taken over his business of hair, you know, being a hairstylist. And I am trained in doing that. So that would have been convenient if I had found my rhythm there.
So people can go to you and they can get tattooed and a haircut.
Yes, just like people go to you and get plumbing work, HVAC, and a tattoo, and get to play video games and talk about it.
That's an expensive venture right there.
I know. Haircut's nothing compared to that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it could be. Are they getting color? You know,
I mean, you feel good after it. I probably better than you feel after. I mean, you feel relieved after plumbing's fixed, but I don't know how sexy you feel.
Yeah, not at all. It's just I need to take an alcohol bath and get the. You know.
Get the grime off, and for the person that you service, I think they're just like, holy God.
You're going to kill it with fire. That's really the only thing you can do.
I'm saying, though, the last time I was at Rapture, it was a pretty fun thing. You were starting a back piece on this guy, and he was playing old school Mario.
Yeah.
Doing a back piece, and I was like, this is the shit right here.
he's like... the third person that's actually used that thing.
That's crazy. And
it's been there for, I don't know, 4 years.
Oh my Lord. I would totally use it. I would be worried because I tend to like, when I'm jumping, I tend to like move my whole body.
You're trying to jump with them. Trying to direct which way you're jumping.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm very, engaged with the activity. But he was doing good. He was for you know, getting his back done while doing that, he was doing pretty good. I felt like I was messing him up half the time.
He put it down a few times though. He was just like, yeah,
I can't
I can't concentrate on that right now. Like, you're getting like, when I would get close to the ribs and he wasn't having a good time.
Tetris would have been fun. I would have played Tetris. Tetris would be easy.
I love Tetris.
I love Tetris. I know. Yes. That kind of shit.
More That's people need to play Tetris.
I agree. There's a lot that I think more people should do, but I'm...
absolutely. I can agree.
I'm getting old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's
these kids these days.
These damn kids.
So... okay. Do you remember your first tattoo that you ever did?
Yep.
What was it?
It was on Chuck, on the guy who apprenticed me. It was on the front of his shin, close to his ankle. He was like, just draw something. I want, like, whatever you want to draw. And I'm like, oh, okay. He's like, you have this much space like to work within. You know, and he gave me whatever the measurement, or he showed me rather, you know what I mean? But like, so I ended up drawing this like toxic keystone, because of course we're in Pennsylvania.
Right.
It had like eyeballs and hair and shit growing all over it. And he was like, all right, I dig it. And it'll work. It'll work for a tattoo. So, I know you're comfortable drawing stuff for tattoos. So that was the first thing I did. It was fun. I mean, he had me do it start to finish, so it was color and everything.
How long did it take you?
I want to say like an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Not bad for a first tattoo.
No.
Yeah.
It was funny though, because he's like, you know, I put the stencil on and all that stuff. And he's like, all right, so you're going to pull your first line here. Da 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 da. You know what I mean? He's like talking me through it. And then I'm like, bing, I start going and I'm hitting the skin. And he's like, what you want to do here? You know, he's like trying to talk through it, but he's just like, because it's like on the front of his fucking shin.
Yeah. Ankle too, like close to ankle. Yep. And it's not great.
No. that's one of the things that'll always stick with me. It was hilarious.
Oh my goodness. Do you find that that your artwork coming off of comics and all that stuff transcended really well into tattooing?
Line work. I love line work. I love it. God. Love it, love it, love it.
I am so opposite you.
I mean, I like all the other stuff too, but man, there's nothing like sitting for like 3-4 hours just lining out a piece, and whether they end up coming back or not, it's like, man, I'd be happy if they just
left it.
Yeah, if they left it like that, that's fine. I'd still be happy, you know.
It surprises me because you do a lot of full color work.
Mm-hmm. I love color too.
Yeah,
I do love color.
Okay. Right on. So what transpired after that? How long did you work for Chuck?
So my apprenticeship was only like eight, 9 months. Mm-hmm. He said that I picked everything up really fast. And of course, like line weight and color theory and like a lot of the other things that he would have had to taught me, he didn't have to teach me those things. So I already had a plenty of grasp on it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's
those institute documents that your mom got you.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
No, in all seriousness, like,
no, they were great.
So this was weird. In elementary school, we had art classes, and the teacher for that class, Mr. Starner, he followed our class all the way to high school.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome. With us the entire time.
Whoa.
Which was awesome. So like from like second grade to fifth grade, I had him that whole time. Then he came to middle school with us. So like, you know, sixth, seventh and eighth grade, we had him at that school. 'Cause I went to three different schools.
Wow.
Because of like the way they have our area split up. It's kind of nutty, but here I am a freshman in high school. Who's there? Mr. Starner.
Wow. And you had consistent teaching.
Yeah. So same dude from like everything from ceramics, computer graphics, illustration, cartooning. He did all that shit.
That's rad. Fucking,
yeah, it was awesome. So like, I think that kind of plays into like everything, you know.
Hell yeah. Now, were you, just to kind of touch on that, I would imagine with that, the recognition of your talent was, you know, he was able to long-term watch you and like
be able to feed you. I mean, not that I really think I'm all that talented, but I'm just like an idea guy. But like, he would always, why don't we put this in Scholastics? I'm like, what? What's that? Oh, it's like, you're going to, you know, people will judge it on how good it is.
Right.
I'm like, oh, okay. And here, like, in the same class, there was a kid and all he did was like still life. That's all he did was still life.
Damn.
He was a great artist.
Yeah.
There's more to it. Like,
wow. And still life
you can't just do one thing.
Well, and it's intense too. Like still life is for that age group. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's pretty I'm just not a big still life person, so like I kind of consider it kind of boring, but they're not boring if they're done well, you know, right. They're really good. But yeah. I just think that's very I guess adult and mature for somebody of that age group to really be into still life.
I know. I'm like, I'm doing, you know, pictures of the Transformers and dinosaurs and crazy stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And there's this guy like, doing an American flag draped over a chair. And
who was he living with?
What are you, 70?
Your grandfather was Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah.
I mean,
I know, right? But, you know, my teacher recommending me to, you know, put stuff in Scholastic Award against shit like that. And it's like, nobody's going to vote for my stuff. I'm not going to win anything. I did.
Yeah.
Just, you know, strictly illustration stuff, mm-hmm. you know?
Yep. Well, and you don't know until you put yourself into those runnings. Yep. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. You always think you're not going to, but that's what, you know, kind of keeps you protected in case nothing happens, and just kind of, you know, you're doing it for love of the game anyway. So
yeah. Yeah.
But it does, it kind of gives you a perspective. You're like, oh shit, I actually am talented. Huh. Other people think so too.
I did something right for once. Holy shit.
Yeah. Well, I would imagine that helps when it comes down to moving it into a professional realm, because, you know, if you didn't do that, you wouldn't think that you were good enough.
Yep.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doing many days, like, you know, resubmittance to different kinds of art modalities, which is really mm-hmm. cool. I'd love to join you one day for your podcast and just be like a throw in, see how I float.
I mean, whatever, like we're always welcome to guests.
Yeah, I would love to.
We have a guy that just joined us. He is an illustrator and works mm-hmm. in the animation field and all that stuff. So,
oh, cool. I mean,
the more the merrier. Actually, we have a show tomorrow. You want to join us? Yeah.
Right on. I'm tattooing tomorrow. Otherwise, I would. But the next Wednesday, I have.
At like 9:15.
Okay. So, PM.
Yep.
All right. Next
it's
Wednesday.
Live. It's not. I know.
Yeah. That's cool. And could it? I mean, could it be anything? Like
whatever. Yeah. Whatever. You can just sit there if you want and make fun of everybody.
No. Nah. Get my.
When everybody. Yeah. When Chan asks everybody, hey, what is everybody working on? You can say, well, I'm here just to make fun of everybody.
Working on my humiliatrix.
Yes, there you go.
Next
there
life.
There you go. Perfect. Yeah.
Just a call girl who makes fun of people, gets paid. I always said that was the only form of BDSM that I could do. It's just like, if you need me to belittle you for an hour, I gotcha.
Hey. I gotta make her...
away in this world.
Make her peace on mouth. Yeah.
Hey, man, if it brings pleasure to someone else, who am I?
Sure.
No, I mean, you know, I say that, but I really don't know if I have the heart for it, to be honest with you. I'd probably like feel really bad afterwards.
You're a fat jerk.
No.
I'm really sorry. I didn't really mean that.
And I think it would be fun if like I've went to Goodwill and like got some figurines and repainted them. That'd be fun.
Sure.
Hang out with you guys and do something weird. That's
like, I've gotten many people to venture into that realm. Mm-hmm. And that's how I told them to do it. I was like, go to Goodwill or like Five Below, Ollie's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Marshall's. Shit is always discounted.
Yep. Go I also like doing something. Those dots. Have you ever tried the dot thing where you like, you do these mandalas of dots?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Shit's really fun.
Yeah, I tried that stuff. I ended up like, no, I want to blast like crazy colors through this shit.
I don't want to sit here and do this.
Yeah, I don't want to sit here dot after dot after dot. It's
so meditative to me. I'm just like, oh my God, it satiates my fucking dumb, meticulous brain.
I mean, anymore, if I do black and gray work, I'm doing the pendulum. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Just to get that effect, I guess.
Yes. I do like the all the versatility of the new. Well, the old machines could do it, too.
Yeah.
You know? Like you just had to know how to run them. But yeah, I love all the versatility of tattoo machines. Is there anything that surprised you about tattooing that like was way different?
Anything that surprised me? I mean, I don't know, people bleeding and stuff like that. I was surprised that didn't really bother me.
Right on. Yeah.
You know,
it's not much.
Yeah, it's not much.
Yeah. I'm sure after all the shit that you literally had been through by that point, it probably was not that bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Just it's just another, you know, human fluid, you mm-hmm. know, bodily yeah. fluid that just, I mean, well, actually, yeah, I'd still have to fix stuff because people get dumb tattoos and then they're.
Yeah.
Can you rework this or cover it up? And...
You're like, yep. Okay. Yes, I can.
Okay.
Okay. did while you were at Chuck's, how did that go? How did the advancement of you? I mean, before you ended up moving on,
because we were talking about that.
Like, well, yeah, but I've realized I probably missed a lot of in between stuff while, you know, in asking that question. I guess talk about what your tattoo life was like. Hey, how did that go? Were you a walking guy? Like, how did the formulation of your clientele you?
Basically, like anything that he didn't want to do, I did.
Right on.
So I was the dumping ground.
I got you. Did you like that spot?
I mean, it wasn't bad. Okay. It kept me busy, you know, but you can only do so much lettering.
That's not art.
That's not art, people. I mean, yeah. It can be, but
it can be if that's what you specialize in. If you sure make it an art form, but if you're printing it off a computer, no.
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 No. And that's what everybody wanted that walked in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I know. I know. I lived in those days, man. It was crazy. Well, and I find too that we kind of existed in the period when schools were experimenting with not teaching kids handwriting anymore. And I found there was a gross uptick of written tattoos that were kind of asked for in that time frame. And I had to kind of challenge somebody who was, you know, basically saying, oh, what do you need to handwrite for? You know, everything's on a computer. And that was the philosophy. It was like, oh, everything's going to be digital anyway. What do you have to do? And I said, well, I'll just have you guys know that as a professional artist, you know, in this realm, what it did was create like a separation of accessibility to kids that didn't understand their own ownership in that way. So they started looking at the written word in this very, you know, evocative way. And they really cling to it because they didn't have their own, they didn't have their own expression for it.
Right.
So they were so enamored by it that when they came to us, they were like, oh, I want this, like, you know, huge phrase on my ribs. And we were like, dude, this is not going to look good in like 10 years. Like, you can't do this. Like, you can't do this. And if you did it, you'd have to do it way bigger. And they never wanted it big.
I always tell people, I'm like, look, usually no matter what font you go with that you want, like, it's gonna, like, each line is gonna have to be an inch tall.
Yeah,
at least. Really, that big? Well, if you want it to look nice,
yep, and be legible,
maybe there's another way to portray what you're trying to say here.
Yeah,
why don't we draw that in pictures?
Yes, exactly. In pictures.
I'm an artist.
Yes.
In pictures.
Right.
I do the drawings and the paintings.
Right. I'm not a writer.
Not the readings and writings.
Yes, exactly. Well, and that's what I basically said. And I said, you know, the reason why it's valid is because, you know, as far as I can tell, when it comes to teaching, and anybody, you want as many tools in a toolbox that you can possibly give a person.
Absolutely.
And if they don't know the analog way, that's really bad for ownership and confidence and all of those things. And, you know, we already exist in a world where, you know, we own our cell phones, but we don't really own them so much as other people used to own cars and things like that, where it broke. They could fix it now. You own a cell phone and it breaks, man. You got to call in some expert. You got to pay out the wazoo. We don't have access to really control the happenings of our lives as much now. So anything that you can give a person that allows them to create and express and be in a more tactile world and connect them to their environment, that mm-hmm. will be a happier human.
Oh, yeah.
And I think
for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's nothing. I think there's beautiful passages in writing, but as you said, you know, we're illustrators, so we can mm-hmm. take that conceptually and bring it into a beautiful image. Mm-hmm. And I always think too, an image combined with writing, it feels more like an advertisement than it does.
Yeah.
You know, art. You know, art can have heard, but
let's create a picture that's going to cause a conversation that you may or may not have with somebody you don't know because mm-hmm. they're curious about what this means.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, yeah. Whether it means anything or not, it's like a joke or you know, right. whatever, you know?
Yeah. But it spawns
have that conversation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have that connection rather than.
Well, and also
out there for everybody to be able to.
I saw this tattoo today that was down a girl's spine, and it was written this way, like so you had to go like this to like cock your head to read it.
Yep, I've had to do a few of those.
Yeah, and it said something about to love and be loved, and I was like, yeah, in order to love and be loved and read it, I have to look like a dog who doesn't understand what you're saying.
Huh? You're the confused dog look.
And I was just like, man, this is a choice. Like, why are people still doing this? But I guess, you know, I shouldn't yuck somebody's yum, but there's so many things that you could have done.
Yep.
You know? So yeah, those are definitely the cover-ups. Fortunately mm-hmm. for this one, it was all done in red. So, you know, that's not
going to be hard.
Nah, that's not going to be hard at all.
Nope.
So you did a lot of the things that he didn't want to do, which was a lot mm-hmm. of like walk-in stuff and like mm-hmm. Not as creative. Cause I was thinking, wow, you know, if it was like me, when I first apprenticed, the people that I worked with, they just did flash. They didn't really know how to draw. So if it came down to drawing something, I would be put in the seat of drawing it and then they'd tattoo it. Or, you know, I was the idea person that like could actually formulate what was going on. So I didn't know if that was what you meant. I'm sure in some respects that is.
I mean, yeah, not really. Like I still drew stuff, you know what I mean? But it was, I want this dandelion with the seeds blowing in the wind and mm-hmm. you know what I mean?
Turning into birds.
Yep.
That was a whole thing, man. There was a whole sheet of them of dream catchers and infinity mm-hmm. knots and
yep.
So things exploding into birds.
Yep. Penises blowing up into birds. And
I feel like there was some album covers that might have influenced a lot of this stuff too.
Maybe.
I don't know. It was kind of like, I don't know. I feel like it was the vibe of the time, like very, I don't know how to describe it. Like punk rock that was real happy, but like when you listen to the lyrics, they were heavy kind of deal, you know?
Yeah. Like
that kind of thing.
Like Cranberries or
like that kind of age. Interesting. Yeah. Did you do a lot of what was the most, because in my time it was when I first started, there was barbed wire, like wildcat paws that Eve had on her chest. Cherry Creek Flash.
Cherry Creek. Yep.
Yep. Praying hands that said only God can judge me.
So I've only actually done that twice.
Okay.
And I did it. The first one I did was like in my first year. And I think it turned out. I mean, I was very, very happy.
Nice. With
it. The guy was very happy with it. And yeah, I feel like that's not a bad thing to like. Hands are one of the worst things to have to draw.
Oh, we're getting proven with that because AI can't do it for shit.
No.
You can tell that people overall have a hard time with
what's
hands.
What's AI?
Artificial intelligence?
No, what's AI? No.
Mm-mm. What's AI? What is it?
No, it doesn't
exist. They can't do fucking hands. I can tell you that right now.
They can't.
Every
they can't
hand.
Spell. They can't spell words. They can't.
No. No.
A whole lot of shit that they can't do. Anyway.
You're like, what is that? No. No, dude, I'm with you. It drives me nuts. It drives me nuts too.
I'm like on these Ninja Turtle pages, and that's nice. All these people post is like, it's a room, Ninja Turtle room, Ninja Turtle computer room. You know what I mean? And it's like, it's all AI stuff. It's like there's a keyboard there with like three keys on it. No monitor. You know what I mean? It's like,
right.
Are you fucking people stupid? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of it. I mean, you wonder, I don't know. It does cheapen everything, but I think I'm more upset, honestly, in the destruction of older art than I am about the creation of AI. Like, I would be okay with AI if we weren't getting rid of and trying to, you know, like society itself was having all these assaults against.
Well, I think
art itself.
So I think for me, it's bastardizing everything that came before us.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you want something painted in a certain way and you want the AI to do it that way. What's it going to do? It's going to rip that shit off.
Yep. Yep.
You know?
Well, I mean, even down to like, you know, you have these beautiful statues that are being taken down, and for whatever reason, people feel offended by them, but it is a statue. And then you have these AI generated things of statues of different things with the hands fucked up. And I'm just thinking to myself, what? I don't understand. And then the statues that they're putting up in the place are abysmal. They're really bad. They're really not good. They're really not good. And I'm like, I would be okay with AI if there was a recognition and a high appreciation for the latter, you know. But there isn't.
There won't be.
We're losing it.
There won't ever be. Yeah. You have like tens of thousands of people out there using this and claiming it's their own shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Getting fucking Facebook famous and all that because their post is being shared, you know, 23,000 times. And it's like, shit isn't even real.
Yeah.
But how stupid are you people? Like, this is not real.
No.
Nobody drew this. Nobody painted it. Nope. Yeah, nobody cares. Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. Which is really sad because that's what I mean is that like the level of apathy that I see happening to people, the despondency and the richness that life can have, I feel like is not there for some. And that's sad. And I really hope that, I don't know, I really hope I can help, like, you know, keep that alive in some way. If my life can come to something, it would be to show a different perspective or turn on a spark in somebody, not lessen shine, uplift. But yeah, that's what I see is that with the adoption of like things like AI, it's always what you're trading, right? You know, like what are you trading to save what time and then for what, you know, for what exactly? And if you haven't answered those questions, I don't think you have any business, you know, adopting things like that.
Yep. So, no, right.
Yeah. Even this podcast, like service on Podbean, they apparently have a new AI assisted thing that takes out all the different, you know, sound ambiguities and things like that. And I was like, you know what? I don't want to do it. I like the little raw things. I like the real things. Like, it's those things that really matter in the end. Like one of the girls that I interviewed here, she was interviewing and her dog was still with them. And then when her interview aired, the dog had had to be put down. They knew that her dog was, you know, struggling, but the dog was in the podcast. It was recorded as a background sound.
Yeah.
So when she finally heard the podcast, it meant that much more, you know, as a timestamp. And that's what, if you're trying to make everything just so perfect, you don't get those little awesome things that, that happen that mean so much later.
And, I mean, for me, it's just I'm scraping my ruler on my cutting mat and you'll probably get some water running through these pipes
at some point.
Yeah. At some point.
I don't know.
So I use the bathroom upstairs and sound like I'm drowning down here.
There you go. My microphone cut off just for a second. Speaking of that, I moved too quickly and it kind of arrested it for a second. You know, perfect timing. But actually Zoom, I don't know if we'll hear it, cause Zoom does a fairly good job of like background sounds. It does take that out. I didn't do anything. That was something that they integrated
naturally. So it's like they implemented it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was for, you know, a superior meeting space or whatever. I don't know, but I'm not mad about it, but I didn't do it.
Can't hear the kids screaming in the back and.
Okay, listeners, that's the end of part one. Definitely go check JD out. You can follow him at Realm of Collectors. That's his collectors page. Definitely go and check out his podcast. I want to be a part of all of this shelf graviness. You know, decorate some really cool items and hang out with my friends and do an art day. So go and check out Shelf Gravy as well. You also can find him at Pigment Surgery. That's his Instagram. I really like that. You know, it says nothing about his name, nothing about tattooing. Pigment Surgery is his IG. So go follow JD if you're in the PA area. Rapture Tattoo Emporium. It's an epic shop. They're really, really great humans. And the quality work is just like none other. It's really like, I mean, it's Rapture. I mean, it's really like this awesome gem in PA that I'm not sure if a lot of people understand how cool it is. So go definitely check out JD. He is, I mean, none of us tried to be cool. We're just nerds who just kept going. But I think that's actually the magic of coolness, I guess, is just being obsessed and passionate about something beyond all rationale and doing it regardless of what anybody says. So that's how cool JD is. I mean, it's like on 1,000 for him and his wife. They're awesome people. I can't wait to be on their podcast with them, or at the very least, just have an art day. Come back next week. There's more. JD gives out great advice about, I mean, it's like epic advice, and I'm not going to give it away. So come back next week and check it out. Love you, listeners. Have a powerful week. I'm going to be traveling to Oklahoma, so there might be some stuff coming out of that. I'm not sure what'll transpire. I'm traveling with my father, so please send us prayers and blessings and safe travels and all of that. We're looking forward to having a great time. JD, thank you, bro. Brocious. Bye, everybody. Bless you. Mwah.
Thanks for listening. You can find the Apprenticeship Diaries on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our IG is the_apprenticeship_diaries. If you would like to offer constructive criticism or an interview, drop us an email at theapprenticeshipdiaries@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from our listeners.